President Obama and House Speaker John Boehner met last night to discuss averting the fiscal cliff, reports NBC's Tracy Potts.
They met in the Oval Office for just under an hour. Earlier, John Boehner said the issue was President Obama not considering more spending cuts, the president on the other side staying firm on raising tax rates for the wealthy.
There are now just 18 days till the U.S. economy goes over the fiscal cliff. This is NBC News Radio. Rebel forces appear to be closing in on President Bashar al-Assad as the civil war continues in Syria. NBC's Ayman Moyaldeen is in the area.
Rebels today have announced they have made very important gains on the outskirts of the city of Aleppo and in the capital, Damascus. In Aleppo, they are reporting to have taken over a military base belonging to the regime. And in Damascus, they say they have also managed to take over one of the more important positions, a military installation on the outskirts of that country's airport.
Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta signed an order today to send two Patriot missile batteries to Turkey. It's to protect the country from rounds crossing the border from Syria. The New York Times is getting into the business of selling bite-sized digital books based on its reporters' works. It will be called e-singles that can be read in a couple of hours. And the remains of Mexican-American music star Jenny Rivera are heading back to the U.S., this after she was identified by her family in Mexico. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Why is a Home Depot gift card the perfect stocking stuffer? Well, a new deck won't fit under the tree, at least not the Christmas tree. And a bathroom update is so hard to wrap. But choose any gift card from the Home Depot's creative collection, and it can be whatever any doer on your list wants it to be. Give the gift of doing this year with a little pocket-sized power. A gift card from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
This is Rene Pena Jr. talking about his Nissan NV Cargo on Hidden Microphone.
This van is kind of square.
If it's square, it gives you more room.
All that room just helps out.
What are you going to do with all these shelves?
Filters, just all kinds of stuff. So
if you don't have that much space, by the end of the day, your stuff's everywhere. If everything has its place, that's where it's going to go back, you know.
Well, aren't you organized?
To get more candid opinions from real Nissan NV Cargo owners, visit CandidCargo.com. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Walmart Twinkies. Reports say, along with food and confection companies, a couple of retailers are among the firms expressing interest in buying the assets of Hostess, which is early in its liquidation process. Among those retailers are Walmart and the big grocery chain Kroger. Among the dozens of companies which may make a bid, some want all Hostess product lines, some only want the bread, such as Wonder, and some only want the cakes. Analysts think the sale of the brands may result in about $1 billion. All these airline mergers of late, Delta taking over Northwest, United merging with Continental, Southwest buying out AirTran, have not resulted in the higher airfares feared by many in the business. The firm PwC US says the mergers also have not caused reduced flight choices. Higher prices we have seen to fly are related to factors not including the mergers, the firm says. Stock futures up, S&P futures gaining 3 points, NASDAQ futures up one. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Why is a Home Depot gift card the perfect stocking stuffer? Well, a new deck won't fit under the tree, at least not the Christmas tree. And a bathroom update is so hard to wrap. But choose any gift card from the Home Depot's creative collection, and it can be whatever any doer on your list wants it to be. Give the gift of doing this year with a little pocket-sized power. A gift card from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the
power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
This is Brandon Bastardo talking about his Nissan Envy Cargo on Hidden Microphone.
Now, where my uncle used to have one of these, like have an old van. Where's the big hump? What was...
It's why the hood's got a hood on it.
What do you
mean? Because the vans that don't have the big hood,
yeah,
the hump's in the middle. That's where the engine is.
Oh,
so they put the engine outside so there's no hump.
So they took the hump out.
And yeah, and they put it in the front.
Yeah, this legroom is amazing. Yeah.
To get more candid opinions from real Nissan Envy Cargo owners, visit CandidCargo.com. Nissan.
Ideas and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trubiano.
And welcome, everybody. It is Friday, the 14th day of December 2012. Actually, we're inching ever closer to Christmas. I want to wish all of those of the Jewish faith a happy Hanukkah. I believe it's day 7 of Hanukkah. I believe it is. I could have that wrong. But nonetheless, whatever you're celebrating this time of year, our love goes out to you. What an interesting day and evening and night and early morning. The state legislature does not convene until 4:30 a.m., just a little over an hour and a half ago. And they did more damage than you can shake a stick at. Now, we're going to walk through some of that as we work our way through the show today. And certainly, none of us, although would be surprised by what happened, there were some surprises, including the much underreported, almost not reported, new set of bills that would once again disenfranchise and suppress voters. Yes, the governor has already vetoed that legislation, but listen, it's the Republicans. They don't care. They figure they got them trigger happy right now. They might as well just put anything in front of them because God knows he'll sign it. Oh my God, what the hell is going on in this state? But we'll get to all of that. I am hoping, and at this point it's just a hope. We do have State Representative Lisa Brown scheduled for this morning. As many of you may already know, House Bill 5711, the anti-choice, anti-women bills that have been working their way through the legislature, were passed by both houses and are now sitting on Governor Dick Snyder's desk. Will he sign them? That is the question. Well, Rep. Brown was not about to be silenced yesterday. And we'll talk to her about that if she's up. I'm telling you, I'm not optimistic, but I will certainly understand if we don't end up connecting with her this morning. So you've been forewarned. Lisa Graves joins us from the Center for Media and Democracy. She is a part of a group called ALEC Exposed. ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council. Lisa will join us to talk about the right-to-work legislation, which was templated out of ALEC. And, in fact, there may be a legal challenge to the right-to-work law that was passed because it wasn't fully vetted. And it may be that state workers, public workers, may not be included in the law that was just passed. So we'll talk about that. Oh, my God, isn't that interesting? The Reverend D. Alexander Bullock joins us at 8 o'clock. He has plenty on his mind. And we continue our series on your good health with Jonathan Fleece. He is author or co-author of the book, The New Health Age. So we will get to that as well. And then, of course, it wouldn't be Friday without our political insider extraordinaire, Joe DeSano. So with all that said, let us get this thing underway.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
And the first word today, well, I want you to listen to me before you react. The first word today is resignation. Now, wait a minute. I'm not asking you to resign from anything. And we can certainly take a look at that word in a negative way. The connotation, I think, would be mostly negative. I'm resigning from my job. I'm resigning from these responsibilities. But I want to focus on another way to utilize the word resignation. And you can now say that I am resigned to do good. I have now surrendered to the evil that is around us, and I am committed, I am resigned to making sure that I turn this around. Resignation, folks, can work in many different ways, but in our world, we need it to be a positive focus. We need to resign to the fact that now it is up to us. You know, it's not that we can't trust especially our Democratic lawmakers, because we can. They just happen to be in the minority. And even if they were to vote in concert, every single one of them, on every one of the issues that we care about, in the affirmative, it still wouldn't pass without some Republican intervention. So my resignation today is that I'm letting go of all the negative baggage that is surrounding us right now, and I am resigned to making sure that we begin the process of turning all of this around. That's right. Resignation does not have to mean leaving something behind, but even if that's what it means to you, what are we leaving behind under this context? We're leaving behind negativity, we're leaving behind powerlessness, and we are moving toward being proactive and making sure that we start the process of turning around all of the nonsense that has been plaguing us for almost 2 years now. Our resignation today, and we should all resign to the fact that if we do not use our voices, do not use our feet, our hands, our eyes, our ears for the good, no one will do it for us. Today's first word is resignation.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off from second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep.
Red Wings. And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
All righty, we welcome back Anthony for our Friday edition of whatever we're dropping on you at the water cooler. Good morning, eh?
Good morning.
What are we dropping today?
We got some non-Lions game news. Tigers pitcher Anibal Sanchez, he's pretty close to a deal with the Cubs, reportedly, but he says the Tigers are still in the mix.
Okay. Whatever that means, he's close to a deal with somebody else, but he's not willing to yet.
I'm hoping as a fan that means he wants to come here, so he's going to give them a chance to counteroffer. I'm guessing that's what that means.
Okay. Well, I'd like to keep him. He's a good pitcher.
Yeah, and he played really great for us, especially after those, I think it was like the first four or five starts where he was like, man, I was like, why did we make this trade? And then he came on really strong.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And it was part of course, the post-game roster. And we can certainly mention that Rick Porcello wasn't. So that tells us something. Well, good. We'll hopefully have some positive news on that front because they will need another starter if they don't end up holding on to him.
Right, and they were trying to get Barry Zito as well, and he just signed with somebody. I forgot who that was, but he was our, I think, our backup plan. So now we're going to really have to dig deep.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. What else is going on in the world of sports?
Not much. We got Michigan playing West Virginia this weekend. That would be John Beilein's former team. Other than that, not much. The Lions game.
Okay. Well, the Lions game is coming up. I see a note on my screen that says Calvin Johnson. Was there something about Calvin Johnson you wanted to mention?
Yeah, he needs to average 101 yards a game to set the record.
Well, he should be able to do that as long as they're throwing the ball to him. And why wouldn't they at this point? They, you know, and interestingly enough, although Matt Stafford's touchdowns are way down this year, his prolific passing is not. He is approaching another 5,000-yard season.
Yeah, and he would be the first quarterback ever to throw for back-to-back 5,000-yard seasons.
Well, you know, so complain about him if you want, folks, but it's not his fault that the Lions aren't. That's the other thing, Anthony. I listen to sports talk radio, and the way, you know, he's not a franchise quarterback. He's not. I'm sorry. The guy is a machine. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, I love the way he plays the game. It's not conventional drop back, Peyton Manning, throw it down the field type of football, but he does get the job done. You know, not everything always goes his way, and not everything goes the way of the team, but I love the way he plays the game, and he definitely has the talent to hang with anybody in the league.
No question, and this is not an excuse, so for those of you that are football fans that are saying, well, there you go, making an excuse, it's not. A lot of his receivers have had the dropsies this year, and Anthony, let's remind everybody, even Kelvin Johnson had the dropsies for half the season.
Yeah, this season was just not our year. I mean, plays we were making last year, we're not making this year. And I'm not talking about the end of the game, final drive type of plays. I'm talking about throughout the game. Players just, I don't know if we got the media hype over the offseason and guys were struggling to, you know, refocus on football, but we had a few problems.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, we're going to wait till after the break to make our prediction for the Lions this weekend. They play the Arizona Cardinals, who are also having their own interesting challenges this season. So we'll get to that in just a bit. And then, of course, it's all about you and I and what's going on. I'll give you somewhat of an update on what happened overnight. The big issue is the Ilitch family. And if you're asking why, when I tell you, when I lay this out for you, you're not going to be happy. In fact, if you want a little clue, go to the Facebook page and look at our poll question today, because that'll tell you where I'm headed. 888-552-3595. This is a Friday morning on First Shift. Stay where you're at. We get it all going, or keep it going, right after this.
Dominic, the cutest little donkey, you'll never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic.
Hi, this is Gilda Jacobs, CEO of the Michigan League for Public Policy. I want to wish everybody a happy and safe and wonderful holiday season.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Taking a look at your roadways, there's still no accidents to report out there, so that's good news. However, we do have a road closure due to road construction. Commerce Road, both eastbound and westbound between Hiller Road and Indian Trail, is closed through Sunday. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers. workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW. And welcome back, 22 minutes after the hour. All right, let's get to our prediction. This won't take too terribly long. The Detroit Lions play the Arizona Cardinals this weekend. And, well, Anthony, if there's a game on the schedule yet that they should have a decent chance of winning, I would think this would be one, yes?
I would hope so. This would be a decent chance of winning. Arizona's really bad. They've after starting off 4-0, they've lost 9 straight. There's no reason we should ever lose this game. I'm going the Lions, and if we don't even win by 2 scores, I'm going to be very mad. So I'm going to go Lions by 2 scores.
And I'm going to agree with you. There's just no reason that, especially with the offensive firepower we have, that we shouldn't be able to do this. And our offense is a little diminished right now, especially in the receiver corps. But there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to fairly easily win this game. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and predict crazy that Kelvin Johnson should have well over 120 yards this week, if not 150 yards receiving. They need to go to him early and often because he will be prolific on Sunday afternoon. So, actually, I'm very much looking forward to watching this game. It may be competitive, but the Lions should win, as Anthony said, by at least 2 scores. We, of course, will report on Monday. Where are we at? Because, like, we're almost at the end of the season here. Are we still, like, in the tide mode?
The tide?
Tide. T-I-E-D. Like, are we tied? You and I, are we tied?
I don't got the laptop hooked up today, but I would have to check. We're pretty close.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll check that out and let you know. In the meantime, that's it for sports on this Friday morning. And now we go to the phone. So if you want to join us, I'm going to walk through some of the legislation. I am going to start with the Facebook poll question of the day, but let's put it out there. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Now, one of the many things that was passed in the middle of the night was an amazing gift to the Ilitch family, who was looking to build a new arena / entertainment complex. The problem is, it takes money from the city of Detroit. I believe it's somewhere in the area of $2.5 million a year for too many years for me to count. So the question on Facebook, let me give that out first, then we'll talk about a little more detail.
is written like this. Legislature passed last night an amazing amount of anti-people legislation, including using school funds, because they would be school funds, from Detroit, to allow the Illich family to use public funds to build a new arena and entertainment complex after discovering they owe the city of Detroit $2.5 million in back taxes. So they voted on this after they found out the family owes $2.5 million in back taxes. Should they have approved the public funds based on what you now know? Now, it's early. We don't normally have but two or three responses this early in the morning. Already 11 people are saying no. What were they thinking? Well, I don't know what they were thinking. Well, yeah, I do know what they were thinking. Forget about the will of the people. Forget about the financial problems in the city of Detroit. Forget about educating our students. Forget about where that money might be better used elsewhere. Let's make sure billionaires get some public funds. It's that simple. It really is that simple. That's what this is about. And I can't imagine, you know, there may be some people that will end up agreeing with this because we've got our fair share of trolls on the Facebook page. But it is what it is. It is what it is. So it passed, and the governor will sign it. And by the way, the governor's going to have a really, really sore wrist today. And don't read that the wrong way. He's going to have a really sore wrist today. He has so much legislation to sign that is going to harm you. That you can't believe it. What's some of the legislation look like? Well, the anti-choice bills passed the House and the Senate, headed to the governor's desk. What else? Well, let's see. If you want to recall somebody now, they have limited the amount of time you have to do that. And they've put in other rules, like you can't do it within the first 6 months or the last year of them being in office. Want me to go on? I can go on. The personal property tax, a deal was finally done. It's still without the obligation or ability to restore 100% of the funding that go into communities. Who suffers? Police, fire, and schools. Want me to go on? I can. I mean, that's the sad reality, is I can. They literally passed one piece of heinous legislation after another. A new emergency manager law, which we're going to talk about in a minute. They passed that. What else? Well, after it was decided that the legislature passed voter suppression laws that were confusing and unfounded and not based on anything but a Republican agenda, and the governor vetoed it, which is the only thing he vetoed that ever had any significance in the 2 years he's been there. What's this legislature do? Reintroduce it, pass it again, and send it to his desk. Anybody willing to take a side bet on whether or not he'll sign it? 888-552-3595. I go to my brother Amir in Detroit. Merry Christmas to you, my friend. I wish I could give you better news today.
Oh, I wish you could, too, but you know what? This news has been the same news since 1999. They continuously do things to destroy the Detroit public schools. They continuously do things to destroy Detroit. And anybody outside Detroit, how can you even fix your mouth to think that the problems in our city are actually or were created by us? This is a state-driven issue, and it's not only going to hit our community, it's going to hit communities all around, especially with that personal property tax going. How you going to fund your police and your fire and your schools? Because that was a part of it, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
So, you know, people wake up, this governor, that legislature, we need to pass a law that say when they do things like this, we can hold them criminally liable for destroying stuff.
Hey, you know, Amir, what do you think would happen if they were to take the money from, let's say, the Bloomfield schools or the Birmingham schools or the Troy schools? What do you think the outcry would be?
Oh, my gosh, Tony, they would be wanting to burn the state capitol down.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But so it's okay to pick on the black people. It's okay to take black people's money.
And not only that, in like the surrounding communities, the East Coast, River Rouge, Dearborn Heights, they're going to start hitting those communities too. We're the test dummies. Detroit, the city of Detroit, are the test dummies for all their legislation. Once it works on us, they spread it out to everybody else.
Yeah, I want you to know that there were a handful of Democratic lawmakers, most notably Rashida Tlaib, who has been a champion of people in uncommon ways, is absolutely outraged that they passed this legislation. She could barely contain herself.
And you know what? I'm glad she can, because my state rep, he is garbage. Because you hear nothing from him, nothing about him. And when it's time for him to run again, I hope that he does listen to the radio show. And I'm over in the 6 Mile, Illinois area, so he knows specifically what district that is. You're not getting back in, because you hear nothing about him from a lot of these state reps in the city of Detroit.
Absolutely. Amir, we got to take the break. Thank you, brother, for the call. Have a good weekend. 888-552-3595. Much more to do as First Shift continues. It's an official that chooses the wish of Barney and Ben.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
Taking a look at your roadways, there's still no accidents to report out there, so that's good news. However, we do have a road closure due to road construction. Commerce Road, both eastbound and westbound between Hiller Road and Indian Trail, is closed through Sunday. My name's Tim, and that's your Total Traffic Update.
There's no taste like Honey Baked for the holidays, and there's no savings like $7 off your Honey Baked ham when you sign up to become a VIP. Only Honey Baked ham is fire glazed, slow smoked, then hand finished one at a time. For our $7 coupon, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let's quickly go to the phone and welcome Stephen Monroe to First Shift.
I think you can look at the bigger picture, and the unions basically brought the textile industry to its knees.
Let me say this about the textile industry. It was largely non-union, so that's one of the... I have to say that's kind of a dumb argument.
On 1310 WDTW.
Big news, holiday travelers. American Airlines has a new family deal for you. If you and the kids are headed off to Grandma's house or wherever, American will seat you together. Well, yes, airlines have always done this, but the new part in American's family deal is this. You pay a fee for it. Being seated together is no longer a gracious service, but a calculated nickel-and-dime opportunity for the corporation to squeeze you. American calls this rip-off seat reservations, $25 each way. Of course, paying this corporate tax doesn't guarantee that your seats will actually stay attached to the plane. American, you might recall, had a rash of flights grounded in October due to the rather startling in-flight experience of passenger seats suddenly coming loose. At the time, the airline's executives rushed to suggest that disgruntled unions were behind this odd malfunction. Well, no. Internal documents have now revealed that the sabotage came right out of the executive suite. Having ordered a revised seating plan so they could charge additional fees for a bit of extra legroom, the geniuses at the top then tried to get the reinstallations done on the cheap. Rather than having their own highly skilled and experienced mechanics do the work, they outsourced it to low-wage non-union contractors. They, in turn, quote, misinterpreted American's maintenance manual, did incorrect installations of seats, and even had students doing some of the installations. Incredibly, American's hierarchy resorted to cold corporate think to rationalize their shoddy management. Our competitors do maintenance where it is most cost-effective, they explained, so we must similarly adapt. This is Jim Hightower saying, cost effective? Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell another fee coming on. You want safety? Hey, there's a fee for that.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you this morning. I'm not done. There's more legislation that was rammed down your throat last night that you weren't aware of. And the governor most assuredly will sign. It'll be an interesting day. Right to Work, by the way, is not leaving our consciousness in any way, shape, or form. And we're going to tell you, if you go to the Facebook page, you'll find it. We're going to tell you about a rallying point tomorrow at Michigan State University. We'll get to that in a few moments as well. In the meantime, we're going to go back to the phone. So give us a call if you've got something to say. Les in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my brother. Hope you're doing well.
Good morning, fellow patriots. Now, you said Merry Christmas. What's merry about this Christmas when we got Ebenezer Scrooge as the governor of our state?
I can't argue with you, brother. I can't.
Well, listen, Tony, you know, it seems like it's a climate of behavior in America today, and it's all seemed to be in the Republican governor's states. So the taking away the disenfranchisement of the voter and the unfair legislation that against the people. And, you know, I was telling you the other day, I was at that Heinz Farm with 700 people. Most of the people raised their hand against this deal, and they still voted for it. Now the governor signed this legislation, although, you know, 90% of the people don't want this legislation in our state. Do they ever listen to the people? What is this? Is this democracy or is this a dictatorship? I don't get this. I don't get this blatant disrespect to the people.
No, I don't get it either. I mean, I can explain it, and I think you know it. This is about big money. This is about greed. This is about following the money. That's what it's about. It's about the corporate millionaires and billionaires that have some kind of power less over the legislature, and they exercise that power to the nth degree. They threaten these lawmakers with primaries. They threaten to not write them checks. And they easily and greedily go along. I would venture a guess, and it would be really hard to prove this, but I'm going to venture a guess that if we were to look into the personal finances of some of our lawmakers, we would see that they're much wealthier today than they were, oh, I don't know, 2 years ago. And I don't think that's a stretch, my friend.
Do we have anybody out there, Tony, that's a void of greediness? We need these people out here to represent them. When did the Constitution get thrown out and our charter gets kicked to the curb? Didn't they take an oath to protect the constitutional rights of the citizen?
Well, you know, I've brought this up a few times. You know, I think that we, if somebody, and listen, you got to have to be somebody smarter than I don't understand law, but I would think that, you know, there's some treasonous behavior going on here. You're right, Les. They do take an oath, and they're not upholding that oath at all. They're ignoring law. They're ignoring constitutional tradition. They're ignoring the will of the people. They're ignoring the good wishes of their constituents. I can't imagine that somewhere in there isn't a legal challenge. I mean that. I don't know that it's possible, but sweet God, something's got to stop this nonsense.
And that's why I say, and you're doing the right thing, Tony. We really appreciate what you're doing, man. If it wasn't for your show to echo the craziness that's going on in Lansing and Washington and downtown and in the city government, where would we be?
No.
I really appreciate you, Tony.
I know you do. And that means a lot to me, my brother. Thank you so much for the call. And I want you to have a blessed weekend, please. I do appreciate you as well. Let's get to some audio. Sorry, folks. Okay. Among the craziest things that happened last night was something we knew was coming. Listen, emergency manager part one was bad enough, right? And then what did we do as a state? we voted on it, and we said no to emergency managers. Well, that's not good enough for this legislature, not good enough for the governor. In fact, the governor is the one that called for a replacement law, even after we went out of our way to vote against it. And I want you to understand, I want you to remember that the whole activism against Public Act 4 was a grassroots effort that was barely financed, and if it weren't for AFSCME, Council 25 wouldn't have happened at all. And it was defeated. So what does that mean? That means nothing. Let's go to some audio from WXYZ-TV. The Senate passes Emergency Manager Law Part 2.
One of several bills passed tonight will replace the Emergency Manager Law voters struck down last month. 7 Action News reporter Julie Bonovich is live downtown, and Julie, critics of this new law say it really doesn't look a whole lot different than the one that just got dumped by voters.
Exactly, Stephen, and that's why they say that they voted against it. They say they needed something totally different, but those who support it say this is exactly what cities need. Opponents of the new emergency manager law say it should never have been pushed through the legislature because it's way too similar to what voters rejected in November.
It's a real slap in the face to the voters of our state who just 1 month ago rejected Public Act 4.
House Democratic leader-elect Tim Grimmel says the two laws are almost identical and lawmakers needed more time examining the new law.
We need a new approach here, an approach that encourages collaboration between experts who are appointed from Lansing and local elected officials. And unfortunately, this bill doesn't do that.
But supporters of the new law, like the state representative who sponsored Public Act 4, say they went back to the drawing board and came up with this new, improved version with several changes.
People wanted leadership, and they wanted us to do a better job creating a bill that works, and we've done that with this particular piece of legislation.
The law now gives distressed cities or schools in a financial emergency four options. Choose a consent agreement, mediation, which is like arbitration, an emergency manager, or Chapter 9 bankruptcy.
Most notably, the amount of control and the new options that local elected officials will have. They now will have a choice. They have four options.
The new law also makes the state, not the entity under financial distress, pay for the salary of the emergency manager. But there is still that controversial issue in the new law. The emergency manager can break union contracts. And the bill still has to go to the governor's desk to be signed into law, which he says that he will do. Also, it won't take effect until the legislature adjourns, which would be another 90 days.
Yeah, this is just insane. But don't worry, there's actually more to talk about on this particular issue. This time we turn to our friends at Fox 2. And we listened to some Democrats and some Republicans certainly sounding off on the new EM law, including our friend, State Rep. Harvey Santana.
Back here at home, Michigan voters said no to the state's emergency manager law in November, but that is not stopping the governor and Republican lawmakers from pushing through a redo that they say will restore local control of the process. Fox 2's Tim Skubick live now in Lansing with the latest. Tim.
Well, Hugh, the people at home have to be asking that question. Didn't we decide this in November? We said no to the EM, so how come the Republicans and the governor want a redo? Well, they think that cities and school districts are still going over the financial cliff, and they need state support. But they have modified their plan. Here's what was going on in our town this day. You've restored democracy?
I think we have.
He has a perverted sense of what democracy is.
It seems these days in this fractured town, the Republicans and Democrats can't agree on much of anything, including how to save the cities and the schools from going over their own financial cliff. Instead of unilaterally sending someone in to run the cities under Public Act 4, which the voters rejected, the governor has proposed giving local officials four options. Vote for an emergency manager, go to arbitration, sign a consent agreement, or go into Chapter 9 bankruptcy.
What he's done is he's given four different types of cyanide capsules they can swallow.
But the Republican sponsor says this will save those schools and cities.
And also helps take care of the issue.
And will it save cities and schools?
I think it will.
And the governor agrees. But this Democrat contends this is a slap in the face of the voters who rejected the EM law. And as for the governor's pledge to save the cities?
The governor said a lot over the last week. No one across the country believes him, not the least of which is the residents of the state of Michigan. He's been laughed off of TV shows nationally, and he's making a mockery of this state.
This reflects listening to the voters.
Because what we did is put in a procedure where basically the local community selects what path they want to go on.
Well, now the Michigan Senate is standing by to vote on this tonight. We really expect a yes vote. The House did it last night, and the governor will sign this legislation. Probably it will not face legal challenges, but the Democrats are still up in arms. They're still angry about right to work, and they're not going to put up any votes for this legislation either. This town is really, they're fighting to get together, and so far they haven't, Huel.
Tim, I don't think there's any effort really to get together. The Republicans have a majority in the House and Senate. They own the Republican, the governor's office as well as the courts. And it looks like this deal is done. Would you say that even if the Democrats voice their opposition, it's going to pass?
It is. The Republicans have the votes. They showed it last night. They have the votes in the Senate. So as they say in the biz, stay tuned. They're going to get this done. And the governor will put his signature on this one as well, my friend.
All right, Tim. Thank you.
All right. So the four choices. You know, I got to defend the governor a little bit on this one. He is right. The communities do get four choices. You can either die by sword. You can die by bullet. You can die by electric chair. Or you can die by poisonous gas. So he's right. There are choices. All of them lead to death, and you get to decide which one is going to be kindest for you. Yeah, there's a choice. Okay, let me hear from you. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. First Shift continues going right after this.
Wonderful time of the year. It's the
Hi, this is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. I want to wish everybody on First Shift Radio a joyous and happy holiday and a happy new year. Look forward to 2013.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what you look like, or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white, or Hispanic, or Asian, or Native American, or young, or old, or rich, or poor, able, disabled, gay, or straight. You can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
On 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up? Diggity doll.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now time to punch back in.
And welcome back. It is 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. Would love to hear from you. 888-552-3595. How many of you, and I get this. I mean, I get this. It seems like we've become nothing but Debbie Downer Day every day. But I can't not report this stuff, and I can't not hold back how I really feel about it. It's just not genuinely who I am, and it's not what you expect from me. I assure you, in the years that I was doing radio, where we had Democratic leaning or majority in the legislature and a governor, we were having very different conversations. Now, it wasn't that Republicans weren't still asshats. They were. But they didn't have the control they have now. And so, you know, I just can't sit here and pretend like everything is honky-dory and everything's going to be great, because we have some significantly important work to do together. And our Democratic legislature needs us now more than they ever have. So this is no time to just sit back. I realize it's the holiday. I realize that there's a lot going on. But this is when we need to start gathering the troops to be prepared to fight the fights that we need to fight moving forward. All right. I, of course, mentioned at a little earlier on in this hour about the Illich family getting a deal from the legislature in almost record fast action. Well, this, according to WDIV Channel 4, is a little bit what happened yesterday.
His new stadium district project has, of course, an astronomical price tag with it and tons of potential.
And tonight, the state legislature is giving the green light to use taxpayer dollars, but Illich may be dealing with his own tax troubles. Our Mara McDonald joins us live downtown tonight. And Mara, exactly what does this bill do for the project?
Carmen, here's the deal. This bill kickstarts the entire idea of a mega Illich development somewhere in this area, Woodward, north of 75. Specifically, this bill allows the Illiches to capture $12.8 million in Detroit property tax revenue yearly with no end date defined. The scope of what Mike Illich wants to leave as his legacy in Detroit is exciting. A new stadium district with what's being called an event center, meaning a venue that's so much more than just a stadium for the Red Wings. A total revitalization for a huge hunk of Detroit, more than likely near 75 in Woodward. Will it actually be built? Maybe. Tonight, the Michigan legislature has approved a bill that will allow the Illiches to get $12.8 million worth of Detroit property tax revenue to help with the project, and only if the project goes forward. All this after it became known in Lansing today the Illiches owe Detroit back taxes. The estimate I'm given is $1.5 million on their Joe Louis Arena lease. But wait. Not so fast, according to Illich's Olympia Entertainment tonight. Quote, upon further examination, it is our organization's belief that the taxes in question have been accrued to Olympia Entertainment in error. Why are they saying this? Because the city of Detroit is the property owner of Joe Louis and the parcel where Cobo Arena sat, not Olympia Entertainment. Back here alive. In addition, the Illich organization saying tonight that they have not been given any sort of notification or paperwork suggesting that they are in arrears on any sort of taxes. And already, Carmen and Devin, some state senators from Detroit are sending out press releases tonight calling on the Illiches to pay their fair share.
Okay, and it begins. $12.5 million. How many books can you buy in a classroom? How many lunches can you buy for the kids? How many teachers' salaries could be satisfied with $12.5 million? Just asking. Okay. Man, here we go again. Another one. We mentioned it, and hopefully we'll have
Representative Brown in the next hour. House Bill 5711 sent to the governor's desk. It is the anti-choice, anti-women, anti-health bills. It's an omnibus, which means it's a series of bills that restricts everything. By the way, State Senator Rebecca Warren, you gotta love her, tried to include in this legislation that if men wanted to be prescribed Viagra, they had to have a digital exam. Yeah, that's right. They turned that down. Anyway, this from WDIV on House Bill 5711.
And you know, for women especially, this is an issue that sparks a lot of passion really on both sides. Lawmakers here started debating this over the summer, and even back then it sparked a lot of controversy and really a lot of widespread protests. Opponents of the bill call it some of the most restrictive in the entire country.
This bill could close the doors of those clinics that provide way more than abortion services.
State Senator Rebecca Warren, a Democrat from Ann Arbor, caused a stir yesterday when she openly opposed new legislation that would tighten the rules for abortion providers throughout the state. She calls the legislation, House Bill 5711, a blow to women across Michigan.
And this is the thing that's making, I think, so many women so angry right now in Michigan, is that for the last 6 months, we've seen this constant attack, this segmenting of women's health, and saying, we're going to treat women different than men in health care, and it's offensive.
State Senator Rick Jones sponsored the bill, which would essentially do three things. Require clinics to maintain a set of uniform standards, make sure women could be seen by a doctor first for a physical exam, and require a woman to have counseling to make sure she's not being forced into ending a pregnancy. Unlike Rebecca Warren, Jones believes the bill is a boost to women's rights and would help ensure clinics maintain a certain level of safety.
Currently, we have abortion clinics that are not inspected, not licensed, and that's pretty dangerous. There are some other clinics out there around Detroit that don't want this, and I suspect that they're putting profit against the safety of women.
Bill Nowling is a political strategist.
If you look at the polls, 52% of citizens believe that abortion should be legal with some restrictions. They don't think that it should be legal with no restrictions.
And the main bill, the main portion of the package, passed 27-10. It now heads back to the House for a final review before eventually landing on the governor's desk.
Well, righty. So there you go. And I'm sure the governor is going to sign it, as he has yet to meet anything but one bill that he didn't love. And, well, that's back in front of him as well. Does he have the a set that will allow him to veto that? I doubt it. He may veto one of these pieces of legislation for political reasons. And what I mean by that is thinking it'll take the heat off him for right to work, which that'll never happen. I mentioned, and I need to get this in before we get to the top of the hour break, Michigan State University has a graduation this weekend. And the commencement speaker is none other than Rick Snyder. And they are asking, and it's on the Facebook page, so just go to the Facebook page and all the details are there. But they're asking for people to meet at the Kellogg Center, which is right next door to Michigan State University, where green and white, and to greet the governor and to congratulate the graduates. Yes, it's going to be civil disobedience. Civil, the key word there. Okay, a quick top of the hour break, and hopefully we'll have Representative Lisa Brown when we continue, but we will certainly understand if she's not able to be with us this morning, as they didn't break until 4:30. She may not even be back from the state capitol yet, for all I know. A quick break here for the top of the hour news. This is First Shift. We will continue, so stay punched in until we do this.
WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Your roadways are starting to back up. There's an accident I-75 southbound after Baldwin Road. Also on Van Dyke, both northbound and southbound between 23 Mile Road and 24 Mile Road is closed due to a gas leak. And road construction has Commerce Road, both eastbound and westbound between Hiller Road and Indian Trail, closed through Sunday. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. United Nations Ambassador Susan Rice has withdrawn her name from consideration for Secretary of State. Rice became embroiled in the controversy over the attack on the U.S. consulate in Libya. Holiday shopping has shifted into high gear. It's really busy at the UPS hub in Louisville. CNBC's Shartia Brantley says 3 million packages were sorted there yesterday alone. It's all about flexibility for shippers.
UPS has been pushing its My Choice service, which sends alerts on when you can expect your package to arrive. It lets you reschedule and reroute deliveries and waive required signatures.
Today is the deadline for state governors to decide whether to create their own health care exchange or let the federal government do it for their state. A magnitude 6.4 earthquake hit overnight about 180 miles off the coast of San Diego. There were no immediate reports of any damage or injuries. This is NBC News Radio. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta has issued orders to station Patriot missiles and hundreds of military personnel in Turkey. Reporting from Cairo, NBC's Eamon Mohideen says the 20-month-old rebel uprising against Syrian President Bashar Assad has turned increasingly bloody.
In Aleppo, they are reporting to have taken over a military base, and in Damascus, they say they have also managed to take over the military installation.
The Drug Enforcement Administration is investigating the company that owns the luxury jet that crashed and killed Mexican pop star Jenny Rivera. Las Vegas-based Starwood Management had two planes seized this year by federal law enforcement officials. Walmart and Kroger are among about two dozen bidders in the Hostess brand's liquidation sale. It's unknown if the bidders are trying to pick up certain portions of Hostess's cakes and breads business or if some are bidding for all of the assets. The Cincinnati Bengals soared past the Eagles 34-13 on Thursday Night Football. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
You want to give one special gift. It shows that you love what they do. It gives them cheer all through the year. You always hear, thank you.
Give a, give a, give a, give a garden.
Give a, give a, give a, give a garden.
Find something fun for everyone. Garmin.com.
This season at the Home Depot, Husky 65-piece mechanics tool sets are just $29.88. These tools are new, improved, and guaranteed forever. And they're even more affordable. So what you give the do-it-yourselfer on your list can be a little gift to your wallet, too. Because you gave the gift of doing with a Husky 65-piece mechanics tool set for just $29.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
There's been talk that U.S. Airways may go ahead and make a bid to buy bankrupt American Airlines, and that is an idea the pilots at American support. Following a meeting with the CEO of AMR yesterday, representatives with the pilots union reiterated their support for a buyout by U.S. Air, despite the company's hope to emerge from Chapter 11 as an independent airline. The biggest name in cream-filled vanilla cakes someday may belong to the biggest name in retail. Reports say Walmart is on the list of dozens of companies interested in buying the assets of Twinkie maker Hostess Brands, which is liquidating. Sale of the brands to one party or parts of them to more than one could net as much as $1 billion. Other companies on the interested list include grocery giant Kroger. Stock futures gaining in the early going. S&P futures rising 4 points. NASDAQ futures up 3. Dow futures up 43. Most markets around the world near flat today. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Why is a Home Depot gift card the perfect stocking stuffer? Well, a new deck won't fit under the tree, at least not the Christmas tree, and a bathroom update is so hard to wrap. But choose any gift card from the Home Depot's creative collection, and it can be whatever any doer on your list wants it to be. Give the gift of doing this year with a little pocket-sized power, a gift card from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
This is Rene Pena Jr. talking about his Nissan NV Cargo on Hidden Microphone.
This van is kind of square.
If it's square, it gives you more room.
All that room just helps out.
What are you going to do with all these shelves?
Filters, just all kinds of stuff. So
if you don't have that much space, by the end of the day, your stuff's everywhere. If everything has its place, that's where it's going to go back, you know.
Well, aren't you organized?
To get more candid opinions from real Nissan NV Cargo owners, visit CandidCargo.com. Nissan. Innovation.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And everybody, I welcome you back 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday morning. Man, you listen to that show open and you almost hope that there's some truth to it, especially with what we're dealing with at the state level right now. By the way, while you were sleeping, not everybody was. Especially our state legislature, and although we're wishing some of them would have gone home and go to sleep. Well, they didn't. And we've, in the first hour, walked through a plethora of bills that passed and that are now sitting on the governor's desk that you will find reprehensible. To me, and I don't know that I can prioritize these one more than another, but this one I can certainly put near, if not at the top of the list. House Bill 5711, the omnibus series of bills that are anti-women and anti-choice. They are, any way you slice it, disgusting. Before I get to my guest, I want to play some audio from the House floor yesterday. Kevin, hit that audio, please.
The Speaker recognizes Representative Brown. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm sure it's no surprise that I rise in opposition to House Bill 5711. What part of no do you not understand? Thousands of people stood outside of this building in June in opposition to this legislation that I'm sorry is right to life's top priority for the 2012 session. And it offers its highest endorsement for its passage. Who are your constituents? Because Ed Rivett only lives in one city. I am no longer flattered that you are interested in my vagina. I'm offended and disgusted. Your obsession is disgusting. Move on and move the state forward. Thank you.
All right. Joining us now is State Representative Lisa Brown. And, Lisa, I can't thank you enough, knowing that you've probably had no rest making your commitment to us this morning. That means a great deal to me.
Oh, well, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, Tony. So thanks for having me. I wish, you know, we had better things to talk about.
Well, and we all do. And I, you know, one of the things that is just eating at me is this was, unless I don't understand the process properly, yesterday was your last legislative session, was it not?
Well, yeah, actually today, this morning, yes.
Oh, you were back this morning. Yeah, I guess that
well,
is.
Well, we finished this morning. Yeah, we adjourned and then we started up again at 12:01. So. Yeah, it is the end of the session. Yes, it is correct. And, no more session days this term.
And what a way to go. Representative Brown, let me just go to the very beginning of that audio that we aired. You paused for just a pregnant moment, if you'll excuse the pun. And there has to be a reason for that. And I'm thinking that this is emotionally very difficult for you to deal with.
Absolutely. You know, the fact that they continued to push this legislation through after thousands upon thousands of residents voiced their opinions in opposition to it, you know, I mean, it was just another bill and another instance where they went against the will of the voters. We saw that with Right to Work, where we had thousands upon thousands of people, you know, protesting in opposition. And it's just it's very upsetting to not just to witness, to have to be a part of. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah, it is very unfortunate. And you make, I think, the most profound argument, and you ask the question, who are your constituents? You know, we have that conversation this morning, earlier on in the program today, Representative Lisa Brown. Who are their constituents? Why? You know, I've often said on this show, I don't think that many of these legislators ever had mothers or teachers the way they act.
Yeah, and just, I guess, for clarification, Ed Rivett is the lobbyist for Right to Life. So that was what I was referring to, or who I was referring to there. You know, when I made my floor speech the first time this bill came through the House in June, I had three banker boxes full of postcards from people from across the state, from every district, saying that they oppose the legislation. They stand with Planned Parenthood. Those weren't just my constituents. They were from Jace Bulger's district. They were from every district. And they're just not listening to their constituents.
Well, that brings me to where, you know, we have been trying to push people since, I guess, mid last week. And, you know, things, as you know, really started to heat up on last Thursday. And certainly you were a witness to what happened on Tuesday. We, of course, did the show from the Capitol on Tuesday morning. We were in the crowd. I participated in a rally in the afternoon. People are energized. And really, Representative Brown, what I've been trying to empower upon this wonderful listenership is now the legislature, the Democrats in the legislature, need our support more than ever. We cannot expect them to do this alone. We can't put this on you any longer. We have to step up.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, that's where we come into play with our with the opposition as far as in the legislature, when they say, well, where are those people? Well, when people are outside testifying, it's really, or I'm sorry, protesting, it's really, they're just outside. And, you know, for me, at least during the Right to Work discussion, if you can call it that, on the floor to hear Representative Lyons say, this is democracy at work. And it was anything but democracy at work when, you know, in that instance, we had bills that hadn't even gone through the committee process. And that was when, you know, the Capitol building had been locked down and citizens weren't allowed to go into their building. And Republican staffers had filled the gallery. You know, I have said it before, but we are a democracy that is a representative government and with input from the people that we represent. And they've just ignored that. The people that they have listened to have been Ed Rivett from Right to Life and Dick DeVos. and not their constituents.
That's quite clear. Let's talk a little bit about 5711. For those that are not clear on what it undoes or what it does, can you walk us through a little bit of it?
Oh, boy. And I apologize because I am a little tired.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
And I will say that the bill is not the same bill that we took up in June. It's not the same 5711. And there are improvements to it. And, you know, I'm grateful for that. I appreciate that. I just wish that the governor would veto it anyways. This is not what's going to move Michigan forward. There's still the issue of telemedicine, and you know, Michigan is a very diverse state in many different ways. But you look at the landscape, and just if you drive I-75, you know, we have 21 counties that don't have a single OBGYN, and so telemedicine is really important to those communities. And to say that, you know, that's not a way that that you can be treated. You know, it does not help the people of Michigan or the women of Michigan.
It certainly does not help the women of Michigan. And, of course, it restricts and, in some level, takes away critical health opportunities. And as you know, Representative Brown, there are a great many women without health care, that without organizations like Planned Parenthood, they would never know that they had ovarian cancer or breast cancer. They wouldn't be able to get contraception. They wouldn't be able to get, you know, a general checkup. And to limit that access is just anti-person. It's anti-women at any level. I have to ask you, you've seen the governor do a lot of media the last few days, and he's become a laughingstock with the national media. He was on the Morning Joe show the other morning, and they I mean, even conservatives were laughing. They were literally laughing at him. That's really, I would think, as somebody that's as entrenched in state government as you are, that has to be embarrassing for you.
Well, I'm not the one that was on the show saying that right to work isn't anti-union. He did. And if he doesn't understand the issues, we have a huge problem here for the next 2 years at least in Michigan with a governor who does not understand what he's passing, what he's signing into law. He should be embarrassed, and he maybe should start listening to some other people. And maybe he should get some new advisors. You know, we all know what right to work is, and that's exactly what happened on Morning Joe, is the conservatives said, that's our whole point of right to work, right? Is to break the unions. For him to not understand that, you know, he's not one tough nerd by any means. He's kowtowed to the right wing extremists and passing these bills. And really, I fear for the future of our state with that sort of mentality and moving these sorts of things forward.
As do I. I think one of the most disturbing things I learned this week, we had Congressman Dave Kirsten on and Congressman-elect Dan Kildee on the show this week, Lisa, and both of them were in that meeting that met with him, and he didn't even know that you weren't required by federal law to join a union. He did not know that you didn't have to pay dues. He didn't know this, and that should be very disturbing. Go get some rest. We love you. Enjoy your Hanukkah season, and I hope to chat with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Tony.
State Representative Lisa Brown, my hero. A quick break. We're going to get to the callers on the other side. Folks, stay where you're at. First Shift continues right after this.
Hi, this is Zach with Progress Michigan, wishing all of the First Shift listeners a happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
An accident has both shoulders blocked. I-75 southbound before Jocelyn Road. Out in Shelby Township, we have a gas leak that has Van Dyke both northbound and southbound between 23 Mile Road and 24 Mile Road closed. Also, road construction, Commerce Road, both eastbound and westbound between Hiller Road and Indian Trail is closed through Sunday. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Give us a call. The caller's dropped off. Why did you drop off? Was it not enough to talk to me? Want to take shots at Representative Brown? I'm her protector. Not that she needs me. She does just fine on her own. Give us a call. We're open lines at the bottom of the hour. 888-552-3595. Before I get back to some topics, I want to remind you that it's 9:50 this morning, 9:50 this morning. We have a major announcement to make that you will want to be present for. So 9:50 today. House Bill 5711, anti-women, anti-choice, pro-insanity. I was going to say anti-sanity, but it's pro-insanity. And, you know, interestingly, it's always men making decisions for women on a legislative level, and that's never made sense to me. And I've expressed my views on choice before. It's a choice. And it's not mine. I'll never have to make it, ever. I'll never have to make it. So I just find it interesting that men always feel like they know better, especially white men. Notice that? They always feel like they know what's best for everybody. The divorce rate among heterosexual couples still hovers around 50%. If we are, as white society is the poster child for the way we want our communities to look and to feel and to sound and to act, we be in big trouble. Yes, we will. And we are. In fact, we are. Let's go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Larry and Lapeer joins us now. Good morning, Larry. Happy holidays to you. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tony. A couple things. But first, I want to say thanks for you being up there and putting Tuesday on the map. I was there with a bunch of folks from the UAW, and it was a sad day for Michigan history. And I can't tell you how upset I was about it, with the exception that I want to thank Snyder, because I think he finally woke up some folks that have been sitting back thinking they'll never do this to us. Well, they did it, and we don't have a whole lot of choice other than to kick his ass. So I think that's what we're going to do.
Couldn't agree more, Larry. Couldn't agree more.
Other than that, on the last segment, you know, this is one of those issues that I, as a father, struggle with. As a Catholic, I struggle with. But you know what? I've got two daughters. I got one sitting down in Texas that's pregnant right now with a real risky situation, and we pray for her every day. And you know, as I've watched my kids go through this, my two daughters, because they've gave me a bunch of great grandchildren, one of the things that I thought about is, you know, I really get upset when other people think they got a right to make a choice for my kids. No matter what, you know, no matter what the choice, I'm not an abortion fanatic. I don't agree with it. I hope we never have to get faced with that choice in my family. But the issue is that, you know, my daughter, don't ever make me make a choice between my daughter and the child in her womb. I don't want to have to make that choice. And at the end of the day, that choice doesn't belong to John Q. Public. It belongs to my daughter, her husband, and however they choose to make it with their doctor and their clergy.
Absolutely.
I don't think it belongs to anybody else.
I agree. Let me share two philosophies with you very quickly. One of them, President Clinton said perfectly during his presidency, abortion should be rare and safe. All right? I agree with that. My philosophy on it is I am not pro-abortion, I am pro-choice. And those are two very, very specific things. I don't think that abortion should be a form of birth control. I don't think it should be an easy decision, nor do I think it is an easy decision for anyone that has an abortion. But for me to pretend that I understand what a woman needs more than a woman does is just downright arrogant and inhumane. So you and I are on the same page. Larry, thank you for your call, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tony.
I appreciate
it. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, partner. I do appreciate it. Let's go to Don in Allen Park. Don, good morning to you. Welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Hi, Tony. Well, there's so many things, and I want to commend you on the work you do, first off. But one thing is, you know, speaking of the trades, okay, the trades have their own apprenticeship programs, and through the apprenticeship programs, you know, they are producing some highly trained and qualified workforces. And when you start cutting into the union, the finances of the unions, you're also going to be cutting into those apprenticeship programs. And ultimately, what's going to happen is we're not going to have a highly trained or qualified workforce any longer. And when they start asking, where's all the qualified people to go to work, there's not going to be any available.
Hold on, Don. You know, what we need to remind people is those people are trained with union dues. That's how they're trained. That's where that money comes from. It doesn't come from the state. It doesn't come from the federal government. It comes from union dues, brothers and sisters.
Exactly. We are no burden on the government in any way, shape, or form. And the other thing is they keep saying it's a freedom, you know, it gives everybody a choice. Well, they've already got a choice. They didn't need to pass a law to give people a choice. If you want to belong to a non-union shop, then go ahead and belong to a non-union shop. You know, don't go to the union shops and try to get work if you want to belong to a non-union shop.
Actually, absolutely. Absolutely, Don. It's absolutely. It's just a lie they keep perpetuating as if they think we're going to believe them. All right, very quickly before we get to the bottom of the hour, Dan in Allen Park joins us now. Dan, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Oh, hello, Tony, and thanks for everything you do. I agree with you 99.9%.
Well, thank you.
I just like to talk about the tax rates on the rich and the one thing that bothers me about nobody looks at it, all the Republicans clamor against minority rights and affirmative action. But our tax policy in this country is basically affirmative action for the smallest minority, the 1% or even the half of 1%. And it frustrates the hell out of me. If people looked at it like that, maybe they would have a different attitude about it.
Well, you know, I've never looked at it like that, but it makes complete sense, Dan. That makes complete sense. You're 100% right.
You know, it's just anyway. And the right to work laws are the same thing. They're affirmative action for the people that say, what does the union do for me? The union doesn't do anything for me. Because that's a minority in the workplace.
Wow.
Same thing.
Yeah, brilliant call, Dan. Thank you. I would have never looked at it that way, and I think you're 100% right. We've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, Lisa Graves for the Center for Media and Democracy and ELEC Exposed. ELEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council. There is a significance to that because, frankly, they're writing lots of Michigan laws these days, and, well, why not? They've cut their stabs enough at the state level. Might as well go after the corporate big shots and let them write tax policy and law and, well, whatever else we need done here in the state of Michigan. You're going to want to stay tuned for this one. First Shift continues right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
An accident has both shoulders blocked. I-75 southbound before Jocelyn Road. Out in Shelby Township, we have a gas leak that has Van Dyke both northbound and southbound between 23 Mile Road and 24 Mile Road closed. Also, road construction, Commerce Road, both eastbound and westbound between Hiller Road and Indian Trail is closed through Sunday. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Republican U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell is advocating cutting Social Security by reducing the annual cost of living adjustment, making you wait until age 67 to get Medicare, and capping Medicaid spending per person per year. All those proposals would hurt working people. The AFL-CIO says the so-called chained CPI Social Security cost of living adjustment change doesn't make it more accurate. It just lowers it for seniors struggling with ever higher prices, including higher health care costs. 250 economists have said there's no empirical basis for changing the Social Security cost of living formula. Raising the age of Medicare eligibility would actually increase the costs of the program, not lower them, and capping Medicaid just shifts the cost to states. For more information on what the proposed Republican cuts would mean for working families, go to aflcio.org/protectourfuture. Republicans at Michigan's legislature are thumbing their noses at voters who rejected emergency financial manager powers in November. Jesse Russell explains.
Emergency financial managers in Michigan could soon have the authority to unilaterally reject or terminate collectively bargained contracts. In November, Michigan voters tossed those powers out when they repealed by ballot PA4, but a brand new emergency financial manager bill passed this week could give those powers back. Republicans argued that the legislation is different from the rejected legislation and that it gives local authorities more of a say. It allows local officials the right to provide input in the decision over choosing an emergency financial manager. Local officials can also remove a manager if 2/3 vote in favor of removal. In the assembly, one Republican sided with all the Democrats in passing the bill. The legislation that would allow the managers to once again throw out collectively bargained contracts comes on the heels of Michigan Republicans passing a right-to-work state bill, which diminishes the powers of labor organizations to represent workers.
Should the U.S. have universal automatic voter registration? AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka thinks that we should. Trumka says automatic voter registration is already the norm for most of the world's democracies. Trumka says the AFL-CIO and partners like the Brennan Center for Justice, Advancement Project, DEMOS, the NAACP, and the National Council of La Raza, among others, are working together to develop a strategy to achieve universal and automatic voter registration in the U.S. Workers' Independent News is made possible in part through underwriting support from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers and from OPEIU, the Office and Professional Employees International Union. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday morning. Appreciate everybody being with us. Well, as we have fought the good fight this week, thousands of us heading to the state capitol, including the show, on Tuesday morning. Many of us stayed throughout the entire day, only to come back and begin to read what was really going on. Of course, when you're in the middle of it, you're actually making history. And when you get done with it, you get back and you gain some perspective and you start to read, it gets a little scarier. One of the reasons it got scarier, as I learned, was that the right-to-work law that was passed this week, as crazy as this sounds, folks, wasn't written in Michigan. It was templated to other right-to-work legislation around the country by an organization called the American Legislative Exchange Council. Now, we've talked about ALEC many, many times on this program. We are now finding out that there may be some significant legal challenges to the right-to-work law because, well, the smart Republicans in the state of Michigan forgot to do one thing, and perhaps that one thing was read the templated law, because it may not apply to public sector workers. Wouldn't that be a little egg on their face? Listen, there's a lot to get to, so let me turn to my next guest. Joining us now is Lisa Graves. Lisa is the executive director of the Center for Media and Democracy and the publisher of PRWatch.org, ELEC-Exposed.org, SourceWatch.org, and BanksterUSA.org. She previously served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as a leading strategist on civil liberties advocacy, and as an adjunct law professor at one of the top law schools in the country. And she joins us today to help us work through ALEC Exposed. And my, do they need to be exposed. Lisa Graves, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
I have to imagine, and I'm believing you're in D.C., but I know you're not in Michigan, right?
No, I'm actually in Madison.
Oh, that's right. You are in Madison. I did know that. That's right. Well, yeah, what a place for you to be, right? Right in the middle of the fire there. I'm sure you've watched what's happened here in the state of Michigan over the last week and a half or so, Lisa. And I know that because you have been so prolific in what you have been doing with ALEC Exposed, that none of this came as much as a surprise to you, I would think.
Well, I have to say I haven't run out of my capacity for shock and horror about these sorts of things because, quite frankly, we were stunned to see this bill unfolded at the end of last week in Michigan out of the blue. We understood that there had been assurances by Governor Snyder that he was not going to pursue this extreme agenda, and all of a sudden it popped up. We were just as surprised as you were, in part because of those assurances by this obviously lying politician.
Not only he was obviously lying, and there's no way to, literally there's no way to back off of that, but when I learned by reading on multiple websites that you are responsible for that this was templated from the American Legislative Exchange Council, and now to find out that their chances are excellent it was never fully vetted and may have some serious legal challenges to it, I would think that this is going to be a little embarrassing for some people, not that they'd ever admit it.
Well, I hope it's embarrassing for them because it's a travesty. Quite frankly, what happens through ALEC is that corporate lobbyists vote behind closed doors with elected representatives on templates that change our law. So let me be clear. This is one of the most shocking things I've ever encountered, which is why we launched ALEC Exposed. I've been a lobbyist for a couple of years in Washington, D.C. After I left government, working on civil liberties issues. And I've been to legislators and asked them to fix laws to make them better to protect Americans' rights. But I have never, ever seen an organization like ALEC where our elected representatives, including representatives from Michigan, dare to go off to fancy resorts, sit behind closed doors where the press and public is not allowed, and vote on these bills before they're introduced in state legislatures across the country like Michigan. And then these legislators have the audacity to come back to their state houses. They come back with marching orders, in essence, from ALEC and the corporations that pay for these fancy trips for them and pay for the resort accommodations and cigar parties and liquor parties and special state dinners for them and all these sorts of perks. These legislators, including a number of Michigan legislators, come back and they proceed to move bills in the legislature cleansed of any reference to the fact that they were previously voted on by corporations, by some of the biggest corporations in the world. And right to work is an issue where, as many of your listeners know, it was going nowhere for decades. It was an issue that was passed in the Deep South, in the heart of the Deep South, in the 1950s. It was at a standstill for most of this past, several decades, in fact. It popped in one state in the 1990s, and then it passed in Indiana last year. It passed last year after an ALEC meeting in 2010, after the 2010 elections, where ALEC decided to really make a hard push on right-to-work legislation or, you know, right-to-freeload legislation. ALEC put that game in play, and these Michigan legislators, this lame duck legislature, decided to execute ALEC's plan at the last minute. And as you said, it appears they've done so without even really bothering to read whether the law that they're passing that was pre-cooked up by corporations and their so-called nonprofit allies, whether that law even matches Michigan's constitution, and it certainly clashes with Michigan's long history of protecting labor rights. In fact, it reverses well over 75 years of law in Michigan.
Yeah, it's reprehensible and disgusting. And Lisa Graves, had you had been here this week, you would have been very proud of our union and non-union brothers and sisters that came together in solidarity to fight this. Now, we weren't successful, but I think before we go further, we need to, for this audience, define. There are a couple levels of membership in ALEC. If you're a legislator, it costs a certain amount of dollars. If you're a corporation, oh, that's a little steeper fee that most are more than willing to pay.
Yes, so ALEC really has, it's really a sham in lots of ways. It's a nonprofit organization where corporations get a tax write-off for the money they spend on ALEC. For a politician to be part of ALEC, a Michigan legislator, he or she pays $50 a year to be a member. Corporations pay thousands of dollars a year to be a member, up to basically almost any number that they want to give. And then they pay an additional premium for a seat on these ALEC task forces, and really for a seat and a vote on these ALEC task forces. The fee for those task forces range from $2,500 a year to $10,000 a year, which is a lot for you and me, but which is a pittance for these corporations. And in exchange, these corporations get an equal vote on legislation like this. They get an equal say in helping to set the agenda through these ALEC so-called task forces. And these politicians who are for the mere cost of $50, basically get on the list of potential so-called scholarships by ALEC, which are corporate-funded trips to these posh resorts where these meetings take place. Basically, they are sitting side by side in a room with the guys who just paid for their trip giving them an equal vote on model legislation, so-called model legislation, to change our rights. That's why groups like Common Cause, the Voter Legislative Transparency Project, and Clergy Voices have challenged Alec's IRS status. They believe this is nothing short of a lobbying scam and that their nonprofit tax status ought to be stripped. And furthermore, they have said that Alec ought to pay back to the taxpayer these tax benefits, in essence, that they have obtained and the corporations have obtained for what is basically just a lobbying operation at heart.
I can't disagree with a word of what you said, sadly enough. You know, it's interesting, and we've got to go to the break in a few minutes. I'm hoping you can stay with us, Lisa Graves. But, you know, I want to tell people that probably a year ago, maybe even less, as I'm talking about the American Legislative Exchange Council on this show, as I'm, you know, really doing a numbers and my numbers job on them, the mainstream media is ignoring that Alec existed. Even progressive media was staying away from this story, and to this day, I don't know why. But that's all changed, Lisa Graves. Everybody's paying attention now.
Well, that's right. We actually, after the whistleblower contacted me with the bills, and I decided that we were going to publish them and make them as widely available as possible so people could connect these dots between what was happening in their home states and this secret corporative cabal, basically, that on the surface said that it was merely a membership organization for legislators across the country to exchange ideas, when in fact it's an operation to get corporate bills in the hands of pliant politicians. You know, we were pushing to make sure people were aware of this. After the Trayvon Martin shooting in Florida, when we helped connect the dots between that law that was ratified by Alec as a model, when we helped connect the dots between the bills to make it harder for Americans to vote and Alec, when we worked to connect the dots between a number of union-busting bills to privatize our public education, take the hands out of the people and put it in the hands of some of the richest corporations in the world, then the mainstream press started paying attention.
Well, it's interesting, and I would imagine that there were days where you were saying to your staff, what the hell is wrong with the media? What more do we have to do to prove that this is real? Because you were being ignored.
Well, it is sort of shocking, because one of the things with some of the cynical media was that they thought this was just lobbying as usual. And we would say, you know, this is not just lobbying, where you go and knock on the door of the legislature and you knock on the door of the legislator and ask them to introduce a bill. And obviously there's campaign donations. Corporations already have too much influence in our democracy under the status quo in terms of lobbying laws. This is a whole other scale of operation. In this case, the legislators basically act like super lobbyists for these corporations and these corporate interests or these special interests. The corporations, through Alec, put their wish list into the hands of these legislators, and then they don't have to really lobby for it. Basically, it's a done deal. It's like having made men in the mafia, in a way.
That's
their job is to basically pass this agenda when they have an opportunity to do so. In fact, the Alec legislators in the state, who are the leaders for Alec, have a duty under Alec's bylaws to get these bills introduced and made into law.
That's crazy. Lisa, we've got to take a quick break, so stay where you're at. Lisa Graves, my guest. She is with PR Watch, Alec Exposed. We'll get to all that. We'll get everything put up on the Facebook page, but we've got to get to the break. Join us now, 888-552-3595. Marion Westland, you're next.
Hi, this is Jocelyn Benson, and I'm wishing all of Tony's listeners a happy holidays.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. SK Energy Shots make the switch to a better source of energy. Available at GNC, CVS, and your local retailers.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
In negotiating the deal with the state, the city was told to use Miller Canfield Law Firm. We had Miller Canfield on the state side and Miller Canfield on the city side negotiating this bond deal. Well, Tony, what typically happens when a municipality gets bonds from the MFA, negotiated bonds, they get that money. They get access to that money. But in this case, Tony, in this unique situation, the state said, I don't want the city to have access to its own money. This is the city money, since I'm a Detroit citizen. We're paying taxes, or we're paying interest on that borrowed money right now, the $137 million. But Dillon said, I don't want the city to have access to this money. Even the Michigan Finance Authority, Tony, said they didn't have a problem with the city having access to the money. It was Andy Dillon who said, I want them to have to come to me to get permission to use the money.
On 1310 WDTW. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. Forgot what time it was. Lisa Graves, my guest. She is the executive director at PRWatch.org. We're talking about the American Legislative Exchange Council. Lisa, you must have struck a nerve. We've got callers. 888-552-3595. Let us welcome Mary in Westland to First Shift. Mary, thanks for punching in this morning. You're on the air with Lisa Graves.
Good morning, Tony. Thank you for all you're doing to help the hardworking people of Michigan. My question is, isn't what ALEC is doing the same thing as racketeering?
Well, I have to say it certainly looks like a conspiracy to me. I appreciate that, Mary, very much. You know, we have filed complaints against ALEC in part because we think it violates the law, and it certainly is a conspiracy to do so, to get around state ethics laws on gifts and gift rules that would ordinarily ban these sorts of things in states like Wisconsin. We're looking at similar efforts in states like Michigan and Ohio, where ALEC has been particularly active, and we're looking at additional efforts with respect to the IRS, because this is indeed a situation in which these corporations know full well what ALEC is. It's an operation to get their bills put into the hands of these legislators and made into law, and yet they and ALEC have been winking and nodding and asserting that this isn't lobbying. And ALEC has been adamant that what it doesn't do any lobbying. It tells the IRS it does zero lobbying. It tells the IRS it gives zero gifts of travel to legislators. These are lies. And I think they must be held accountable for them. Corporations like Koch Industries, which is run by two of the richest billionaires in the world, are behind ALEC. This year, through our successful campaign, along with allies to out ALEC, to expose ALEC, 42 major corporations have left ALEC, including General Motors, earlier this year.
Absolutely. Mary, does that answer your question?
It does.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Mark in Canton now. Mark, thanks for punching in with us this morning. You're on the air with Lisa Graves.
Good morning, Tony and Lisa.
Good morning.
I was in Lansing on Tuesday, and it was a great display of participatory democracy. In regards to ALEC, the ALEC pimp for the state of Michigan is Senator Patrick Colbeck. He is the person getting credit for passing right to work in the state of Michigan. He is a very vulnerable state senator at this point in time, and I urge all residents of Wayne County to band together to put forth a recall effort on this individual, because he is a Tea Party corrupted public servant who was doing everything in his power to undermine democracy in our state.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I appreciate the call, and he's not alone. You know, Lisa, as I know you're aware, some of our state lawmakers, both in the House and the Senate, actually used taxpayer dollars to pay their ALEC membership.
I think that's one of the things that certainly adds insult to injury, and we've documented every single legislator that we know of who's been involved in ALEC. You can find their names on the ALECExposed.org website. If you look under politicians, you can find the names of the corporations that have been involved in ALEC on our website, so you can see, you know, who to hold accountable for bankrolling this agenda. While the Center for Media Democracy does not get involved in electoral campaigns, we believe that the public, the American people, have a right to know who's selling them out and to express their dissent and to object strongly to this effort to subvert our democracy, because that's really what it is. And when you see what's happening in Michigan, just as we saw what happened in Wisconsin this last year, what you see is a subversion of democracy. You see legislators who don't care what the public thinks, they don't care how many people come out, because that's not who they represent. Who they really represent are these corporations that are bankrolling ALEC, the special interests that are behind ALEC, and that's who they're beholden to. When you see these sorts of maneuvers where a law is pushed through practically in the dark of night, overnight, with no real hearings, with no tailoring of that law to the experience and wisdom of Michiganders or Michiganians, what you see is a law that is being directed, being pushed, being prodded by outside special interests who aren't part of Michigan, who, while Americans for Prosperity, one of ALEC's allies, the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity, want to claim that this is a Michigan-based Michigan-based initiative. We know it's not. This is right out of the blueprint of ALEC, right out of the game book of the ALEC corporations, and it matches almost word for word in many provisions.
Yeah, it is amazing. I want to make a point on that. Before I do that, I do need to thank Bruce Felk, who you know, Lisa, at the Rochester Citizen, who brought ALEC to my attention originally. Without the fine work that he has done on the American Legislative Exchange Council, many in Michigan and actually around the country wouldn't know about them. So I certainly do want to thank Bruce for originally bringing ALEC to my attention.
Oh, let me join you in thanking Bruce. He's done a tremendous job there in Michigan, and he and his friends and colleagues who've been working tirelessly for almost 2 years now to get ALEC into the public consciousness about what it is and what it is doing to our democracy are true heroes.
Yeah, absolutely. No question that's true. You know, it's interesting, Lisa, because you went exactly where I wanted to go with this. And it just seems to me that as we kind of look at things honestly, if we just be objective, take a step back and look at things objectively, and we see who funds what. And what I find interesting is I started to do my homework on ALEC. There was a time, Lisa Graves, where they were almost went bankrupt, that they were irrelevant, that there was no way they were going to move forward until the Koch brothers and other multi-billionaires went, wait a minute here, we've got something that we can really utilize to get at people. And man, oh man, have they funded this thing to the hilt.
Well, it is true. The Koch brothers bailed out ALEC to the tune of almost $500,000 loan when ALEC was on the ropes over a decade ago and about ready to not meet its financial obligations. It was in serious financial trouble. Since that time, over the past decade, ALEC has grown its budget. It has grown its corporate membership, the corporations, the law firms, the lobbying firms, and these Koch-funded front groups, these little operations or big operations, really, like Americans for Prosperity, that are part of ALEC, that basically give the Koch brothers and their ideological agenda multiple votes on these task forces. There's Koch Industries sitting there at the table. Americans for Prosperity, which is also Koch Industries, is at the table. The Cato Institute, which is also funded by the Koch brothers' family fortune, and David and Charles Koch, is at the table. Then you have the agenda of multimillionaires like the Amway family fortune, the DeVosses, Rick DeVos and Betsy DeVos, their organization on privatizing public education, they're at the table. And so what you see are instruments of some of these millionaire and billionaires sitting at the table voting as equals with our politicians behind closed doors on bills like this. And then these bills get introduced and passed rapidly.
All right.
A travesty.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Lisa, I can't thank you enough for your time. Happy holidays to you. We're going to get all this stuff posted to the Facebook page so all of you have some links to follow. Lisa, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Tony, thank you so much, and thank you, listeners, for standing up for Americans' rights.
I appreciate it. Let's take a quick break here. The Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, when First Shift continues.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
That earlier reported accident, I-94 westbound at the Lodge, has been cleared. We do have an accident blocking your right shoulder, I-94 westbound at Zeeb Road. And slow-moving traffic, I-696 westbound between DeQuinder and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikliszewski. The Pentagon is weighing in on Syria over concerns that Syria might launch missiles against Turkey. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta signed a deployment order on his way to Turkey from Afghanistan this morning.
We are deploying two Patriot batteries here to Turkey, along with the troops that are necessary to man those batteries.
United Nations Ambassador Susan Rice has pulled her name from consideration for Secretary of State. Rice has been wrapped up in the controversy over the deadly September attack on the U.S. consulate in Libya.
I didn't want to see a confirmation process that was very prolonged, very politicized.
Governors in all states must decide by today whether to create their own health care exchange or let the federal government do it for them. Former President George H.W. Bush may be home for Christmas. The 88-year-old has been in a Houston hospital battling the lingering effects of bronchitis. This is NBC News Radio. After an evening of more talks between President Barack Obama and House Speaker John Boehner, still no signs of movement. NBC's Tracy Potts says the deadline for working out how to avoid a fiscal cliff moving closer.
They met in the Oval Office for just under an hour. Earlier, John Boehner said the issue was President Obama not considering more spending cuts, the president on the other side staying firm on raising tax rates.
156 million shares of Facebook stock is being sold today. CNBC's Courtney Regan says they've been held by insiders who've been blocked from trading since the company went public.
CEO Mark Zuckerberg is not included in this group as he says he won't sell any more shares until next fall.
Amtrak says it will begin plans to replace the high-speed Acela Express trains that run between Washington, D.C. and Boston with brand new trains utilizing next-generation technology. I'm Jim Mikliszewski, NBC News Radio.
This season at the Home Depot, Husky 65-piece mechanics tool sets are just $29.88. These tools are new, improved, and guaranteed forever. And they're even more affordable. So what you give the do-it-yourselfer on your list can be a little gift to your wallet, too. Because you gave the gift of doing with a Husky 65-piece mechanics tool set for just $29.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? Every listener who calls now can try a risk-free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. We only have a limited supply of risk-free jars, so don't wait. Call us now for details. Just call 1-800-487-9755. That's 1-800-487-9755. Call 1-800-487-9755.
It's costing more to fly, says everyone who has flown lately. But the increase in ticket prices and fees has not come from the place many had predicted. The recent swath of airline takeovers, such as Northwest by Delta, Continental by United, AirTran by Southwest, the firm PwC US says airfares have risen only 1.8% per year on average from 2004 to now. It's the fees which have gone up, which they would have done even had there been no mergers. And another airline merger is still a popular concept, at least with the pilots at bankrupt American Airlines. Following a meeting with the CEO yesterday, pilots' union bosses once again expressed their support for American to be bought by U.S. Airways, despite the hope by company bosses to emerge as a standalone. Stock futures had been up. Now they're mixing it up. S&P futures still gaining 3 points. NASDAQ futures, though, now losing 2. Dow futures up 28. In the early going, oil futures are gaining $1 a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Why is a Home Depot gift card the perfect stocking stuffer? Well, a new deck won't fit under the tree, at least not the Christmas tree, and a bathroom update is so hard to wrap. But choose any gift card from the Home Depot's creative collection, and it can be whatever any doer on your list wants it to be. Give the gift of doing this year with a little pocket-sized power. A gift card from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
This is Rene Pena Jr. talking about his Nissan NV Cargo on hidden microphone.
This van is kind of square.
If it's square, it gives you more room.
All that room just helps out.
What are you going to do with all these shelves?
Filters, just all kinds of stuff. So
if you don't have that much space, by the end of the day, your stuff's everywhere. If everything has its place, that's where it's going to go back, you know.
Well, aren't you organized?
To get more candid opinions from real Nissan NV Cargo owners, visit CandidCargo.com. Nissan. Innovation.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Well, good morning to each and every one of you as we begin our third hour of First Shift on this Friday, December 14th, 2012. It's just 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, and we have two full hours of radio staring you in the face. No question that this has been an incredibly difficult 10 days for many of us, and especially those of us that are plugged into the activist set. And, of course, we're encouraging more and more of you to join us, as you proudly did this week up at the state capitol. I don't know that I've ever felt more optimistic about turning things around as I have this week. That's been the silver lining in all of this for me anyway, and I would think for many of you as well. How we stay engaged and keep engaged is, of course, up to each individual. So please be mindful that as we move forward, as we will naturally take a break for the holidays, that we don't let go of that passion and we stay informed throughout the holiday season and that we're ready to hit the ground running come 2013. With that said, let me get to our introduction and get this hour underway.
dedicated to enrich the community spiritually, intellectually, and politically. First Shift welcomes President of the Highland Park NAACP and President of the Detroit Chapter of Rainbow Push.
Now that Public Act 4 is gone, there is no legislative basis for the creation of a separate statewide school district that takes assets from the Detroit Public Schools. And also, in the wake of all of this, the Attorney General and the Emergency Manager and the Governor are saying that the elected school board of DPS were elected illegal.
Reverend David Alexander Bullock.
And we do now welcome the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock to First Shift. My friend, what an honor it is to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning, Tony Trippiano, my friend. It's good to be on the show. I hate that I missed you in Lansing during the big protest. I know you were there. Many of us were there. We were there, including Reverend Jesse Jackson, who was there. And this has been a very, very, how shall I say, interesting last 10 days. This lame duck period has brought disaster in its wake. But we continue to organize and mobilize, and I want to just applaud everyone listening to the show this morning, even those who are going to Lansing today to continue the fight against this kind of tyranny against democracy in the state of Michigan.
Well, it clear, and you, I know you were there, and I'm sorry we missed each other as well, and certainly Reverend Jackson brought important words, some of the words that he brought, one of the messages that he brought, and he was in front of the Romney building at the time, was that it's time for a one-day walkout. It's time to flex our muscle, to show that through civil disobedience, we need and have earned a voice in democracy, which we seemingly no longer are able to exercise based on the current legislative makeup.
Indeed. You know, there's a saying that says we never lost a battle that we fought, but we never won a battle until we fought. And I think at this point it is fighting time. You know, injunctions are fine. Working through the legal system inside the courtroom, I think, has its place. But at the end of the day, when you look at the history of the labor movement, when you look at the history of the civil rights movement and other key movements to protect workers, the middle class, and democracy in the United States of America and around the world, they have ultimately been born on the back of great sacrifice and courageous people who engaged in civil disobedience or strikes or some kind of direct action. And I think, Tony, that Reverend Jackson was hinting towards a key component of the strategy as we move forward. I think direct action definitely needs to be a part of what we plan to do in order to take back the turf that we lost over this lame duck period.
Yeah, and just to remind people that, you know, that old song, "This is our country, this is our land," folks, it truly is. You know, it's interesting, Reverend Bullock. I know you wanted to talk about an international case, and really it brings perfect circle. Oftentimes here in the United States, we think that we are the only ones that experience certain oppression, that everything is, that the United States is the center of the universe. And of course, the truth is there are people in parts of the world that have had it and still have it much worse than we ever can or will or can comprehend. And again, there's an international case that you're going to bring to our attention this morning just to remind people that we are not living in a bubble, that, you know, that and it's not just the people in our state or in our country. It's the people of the world that need us to speak up now.
That's right. In fact, I want to let people know that right now in the city of Detroit, the president of the Association of Injured Workers and Ex-Workers of General Motors, Coloma Torres, is in Detroit, Jorge Parra. And in fact, Jorge was in Lansing as well during the great day of protest. I want folks to know that Jorge and his compadres, they were fired, they were terminated illegally in Colombia. But because Colombia does not have the same kind of worker protections that we have come to value in Michigan and in the United States of America, he was terminated, and there is no recourse. The mediation process broke down. And right now, Jorge is in Detroit, has gone on a hunger strike. Tony, he's been on a hunger strike for 21 days, has sewed his mouth shut. But even while he was on this hunger strike, he was in Lansing in the freezing cold. And why was he in Lansing? And why is he in Detroit today? because he wants to show us potentially what our future looks like. This right-to-work legislation that now has been passed, Michigan is the 24th right-to-work state. What does this mean for our future, not just in Michigan but in America? It means that when you globalize capital without globalizing human rights, then you allow for workers all around the world, not just in Michigan but all around the world, to be exploited as capital and corporations look for cheaper and cheaper workers that they can pay with less wages. And so this fight that we're fighting against in Michigan and in America is not just an American or a Michigan fight. This is indeed a global fight for human rights. And so we stand with Jorge Parra today, and we applaud him as we continue to fight not just for workers in Michigan, but workers around the world.
And it's important, I think, Reverend Bullock, as we begin now to wake up. And there are people that are waking up. Certainly you and I both ran into people on Tuesday when we were at the state capitol that had never shown up for anything before except for work. And all of a sudden, they're surrounded by like-minded people. They understand the atrocities that are being placed upon them. And you know, everything radiates from the center out. Well, we were the center of the world on Tuesday. The world media was there. What was happening everywhere. And we have a profound opportunity if we stay on our path. You're right, not to just help those of our neighbors, literally, but those that are our neighbors in the world community. We need to understand the gravity of what we're involved in.
Indeed, indeed. We must understand that this fight is not just a fight for the right to bargain collectively. This is not just about trade unionism, and that's why I really appreciated Jorge, who's Colombian, coming to Lansing, even though he has his mouth sewed shut right now. He was there, but I also appreciate the faith community and other community stakeholders who are a part of this pushback against right-to-work legislation, because, again, this is not just about the union. This is about quality of living. This is about human rights. There's a moral aspect to our struggle, and I think as we fight back against the conservative agenda that is gaining ground in Michigan right now, as we continue to hold Governor Snyder and Andy Dillon and Bolger and others accountable, we must remember that this is not just about our small interests. This is about human rights. This is about human dignity. This is about decent paying jobs. This is about respecting people and really putting people over profits. And so this fight has universal implication. It has moral implication. And indeed, when we win this, we will be in a position not just to say we won at home, but we struck a blow against those who would seek to destroy human beings in the name of making more money and material accumulation, and we must fight against that at all costs.
And no question. You must be profoundly disappointed this morning that to learn overnight the legislature has now passed another emergency manager law that is no better than the first one.
I am profoundly disappointed about a number of things that have happened over this lame duck period. And most assuredly, Tony, you know, the passage of a new emergency manager law, it just smacks of hypocrisy. I mean, is this a slap in the face, or is this a slap in the face to the people of Michigan? I mean, who fought for the referendum? They tried to block the referendum, came out on November 6th, and definitively said, we do not want emergency management in Michigan. We want better options for urban recovery. And then for those who have been elected, basically to ignore the people and move this agenda forward. Anyway, I want everyone to know that right now Governor Snyder has contracted with the Brookings Institute, and he's doing research. He's having them do research on innovation districts and how you can bring jobs and capture dollars and provide for reinvestment in Michigan. It's amazing to me that the governor of the state of Michigan would be commissioning someone to do a study on urban renewal and then at the same time enact public policies that go against the reinvestment and redevelopment of urban and rural Michigan. Something has got to change. We don't need emergency management. We need policy positions that restore the American worker, the middle class, and reinvestment in our communities.
Absolutely. The Reverend D. Alexander Bullock is my guest. We need to take a very quick break here. If you'd like to join us with a question or comment, 888-552-3595. Much more to get to on the other side of this break. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Hecker, president of AFT Michigan. For those who celebrate holidays during the season, we wish you the very, very best. Enjoy it with your family and friends, and thanks for listening.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
That earlier reported accident, I-94 westbound at the Lodge, has been cleared. We do have an accident blocking your right shoulder, I-94 westbound at Zeeb Road. And slow-moving traffic, I-696 westbound between DeQuinder and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5022.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. My guest once again, the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock. I'm enjoying this visit, as I do every time we visit together, either on or off the air. If you want to join us, it's simple to do it. Just dial 888-552-3595. And Reverend Bullock, we want to welcome to the show this morning Barbara and Wayne. Barbara, welcome back, and Merry Christmas to you.
The same to both of you. Good morning. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for the hard work that you continue to do. It's hard, and I know it's hard, but we appreciate it so very much. And Reverend Bullock, the comment that you shared, Reverend Jeff Jackson says that all the time about the fight, you know, about winning the fight or not win. I like that. I like that statement. But I was very disappointed this morning to hear that Dr. Susan Wright has stepped down. You know, and the same thing for Van Jones. It doesn't ease the fight because they stepped down, because the Republicans are just ruthless in their determination to defeat whatever it is that democracy stands for. And I think they just got to start trying harder, you know, to go from 1.6 to 1.4 in terms of the president. You know, if you got to fight that hard, doggone it, ask for the moon, at least you get over the fence. And that's what I'm just tired of, you know, the folks who just say, well, you know, let's try to go along to get along. You can't do that because you don't get any respect when you do that.
Oh, Barbara,
I'm just upset.
No, I understand. And, you know, and Barbara, thank you for your call. You know, Dr. Rice took her name out of consideration for Secretary of State because she was tired of the politics. She made that very clear. Is she qualified? Absolutely. Would she have made an excellent Secretary of State? Absolutely. Would it have become a political nightmare? It already has. And Reverend Bullock, when they're going to crucify you before you even show up, why show up?
Well, you know what, Tony, I'm so glad for the caller, because I think that the real issue is, you know, are we going to let evil triumph? I heard Edmund Burke say the only thing that it takes for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing. And I think we've got to take the gloves off. Now, I'm a man of faith, and I'm a man of peace. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. But we've got to push back a little harder. I think that we have been so blessed, maybe, and haven't had to fight back in so long that we forgot that there was an opponent on the other side. And so in the case of Susan Rice, the caller mentioned Van Jones as well, another gifted African-American in this country who basically was thrown under the bus because of Republican scare tactics and smear campaigns. We've got to fight back, whether it's fighting against right to work or emergency management, whether it's fighting against the anti-woman agenda that's cropped up in Michigan now and around the nation, or whether it's fighting back against the way we do politics. We must redeem the politics in our nation.
Absolutely. We're going to go back to the phone. Remind you the number, 888-552-3595. Frank joins us now. Frank, thanks for punching in with us this morning. You're on the air with the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank you for your informative show, and I want to thank you for hosting Reverend Bullock. Reverend Bullock, wherever there's a fight for justice, Reverend Bullock is there. And I'm really glad that he was there in Lansing on Tuesday. I was glad that I could be there as well. I think I'm really happy that he's bringing out this fight by workers at GM in Columbia. It's ironic that this week that they passed Right to Work for Less in Michigan, that this is the same week that honors Human Rights Day, which is on the Monday, December 10th, which honors the Declaration, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and one of the rights that was passed in 1948 at the UN is the right to unionize, the right to collective bargaining. And there's the connection between what's happening to U.S. workers and what our Colombian compatriots face at GM in Colombia. They're not allowed to have a union. General Motors forces workers who get hired to sign a declaration that they will not join a union, which is totally counter to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And it seems to me that with General Motors being owned 30% by the U.S. government, that the U.S. government ought to be telling General Motors to get right and to honor union rights at Columbia, which, of course, will help us fight stronger here for our union rights here at home.
Yeah, Frank, beautiful, beautiful call. Thank you so much for sharing your beautiful thoughts this morning. And he, and Reverend Bullock, he couldn't be more right.
No, indeed. I think we are connected. We say all the time that people united cannot be defeated. And so that's not just the people in Michigan or the people in America, it's the people around the world. And I do think that Frank brought out an interesting contrast between the Universal Declaration of Human Rights being passed this week and then the unequivocal attack on human rights in Michigan being passed this week. And so, I mean, it just shows the two opposing forces that we face, not just in this country, but in this world. And so the people of light, the people who will fight for peace and justice, I think we need to step up our game in terms of really, really taking the gloves off, really employing direct action. And so if that's striking, if that's civil disobedience, let's take the page out of Dr. King's book and let's stand in front of those water hoses and those dogs. Let's stand in front of those police officers. And let's say enough is enough. We're not going to take it anymore.
Absolutely. Let's welcome our mutual friend from CARE, Dawood Waleed. Dawood, what a nice surprise to have you call in this morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope that both of you all are doing well and blessed this morning.
Absolutely.
I just want to make a comment that, you know, the GOP really has painted itself and really is the party of exclusion. And I think that, you know, we're seeing a lot of these attempts to put forth these bills and these laws that are, you know, so controversial and so pointing towards the, you know, a small group of people in special interest. But really, I'd like to say to progressive activists that really the GOP's strategy is unsustainable. America is becoming a much more diverse and pluralistic society. And as long as we keep on pressing forward, these small losses that we're taking, like this emergency manager coup d'etat that is going on in Lansing, that eventually I believe we will prevail in the upcoming years.
Well, thank you so much for those beautiful words. And, Reverend, we're almost out of time, so I'm going to let you get us out of here.
Well, again, I think we've been saying it all day. We've got to continue to fight back. When we fight, we win. Just because we lost the battle doesn't mean we lost the war. Let's continue to keep on pushing, and I know that victory is going to come our way.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We'll look forward to visiting with you again next Friday. May you have a blessed week, and hopefully I'll see you at some point throughout this week.
I hope so. You be blessed as well.
Thank you. A quick break here. We continue our discussion with the co-author of The New Health Age, Jonathan Fleece, after we take this very quick break. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
An accident has your right shoulder blocked, I-94 westbound at Zeeb Road. Also, a disabled vehicle on the Lodge has your left shoulder blocked at Southfield Freeway. And another disabled vehicle blocking your center lane, I-75 southbound at McNichols Road. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million, and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It sure certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Big news, holiday travelers. American Airlines has a new family deal for you. If you and the kids are headed off to Grandma's house or wherever, American will seat you together. Well, yes, airlines have always done this, but the new part in American's family deal is this. You pay a fee for it. Being seated together is no longer a gracious service, but a calculated nickel-and-dime opportunity for the corporation to squeeze you. American calls this rip-off seat reservations, $25 each way. Of course, paying this corporate tax doesn't guarantee that your seats will actually stay attached to the plane. American, you might recall, had a rash of flights grounded in October due to the rather startling in-flight experience of passenger seats suddenly coming loose. At the time, the airline's executives rushed to suggest that disgruntled unions were behind this odd malfunction. Well, no. Internal documents have now revealed that the sabotage came right out of the executive suite. Having ordered a revised seating plan so they could charge additional fees for a bit of extra legroom, the geniuses at the top then tried to get the reinstallations done on the cheap. Rather than having their own highly skilled and experienced mechanics do the work, they outsourced it to low-wage non-union contractors. They, in turn, quote, misinterpreted American's maintenance manual, did incorrect installations of seats, and even had students doing some of the installations. Incredibly, American's hierarchy resorted to cold corporate think to rationalize their shoddy management. Our competitors do maintenance where it is most cost-effective, they explained, so we must similarly adapt. This is Jim Hightower saying, cost-effective? Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell another fee coming on. You want safety? Hey, there's a fee for that.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Absolutely. It's just 35. I said that just as it turned to 35 minutes. I was waiting. I was just waiting for that. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. You'll remember last month, just after the Thanksgiving holiday, or maybe it was just before. Actually, it was just before the Thanksgiving holiday. We began a series on the book, The New Health Age, The Future of Healthcare in America. Well, we continue with that series today as we start looking at lots of different things that I think are critical for you to know. Now, listen, the Affordable Care Act, what it does or doesn't do, and, you know, your own personal health plan, and, you know, some of you aren't concerned at all, where others are, you are very concerned, and what does it all mean, and how does it add up, and what are the effects, and there are a lot of questions, as there should be, and if there aren't, then you're not paying attention. Well, we're going to ask you to pay attention this morning, so let us go to our next guest. Joining us now is the co-author of the book, The New Health Age, The Future of Healthcare in America, Jonathan Fleece. Jonathan, I want to welcome you back to First Shift, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Nurs, it's a pleasure to be on the show again with you all.
Well, again, thank you so much. We do appreciate it. Let's just get into it, because I have a feeling we're going to fill up this time before we know it. And even though we've got the better part of a half hour, it always goes fast when you're talking about things that matter. And let's just, you know, I'm going to throw out kind of a generalization and let you fill in some of the blanks. Let's talk about the current landscape of health and healthcare in America, Jonathan.
Sure. The current health care system and the current state of health of Americans today, Tony, is really in sad shape, to be totally blunt with you. Just to throw out a few statistics on the state of health in America to sort of support that statement that I made. Nearly two-thirds of Americans are medically overweight. Nearly one-third of Americans are clinically obese. The chronic diseases that are striking Americans are growing at alarming rates. Diabetes, heart disease, COPD, the lung problems, clinical depression, and others are all growing at double-digit rates. A lot of public health policy researchers will tell you that we are living in a generation with children who may very well not outlive their parents. That's the first time in human history that we can record that that happened. And a lot of that is driven by the childhood obesity epidemic that's going on within our youth. So the state of health in America and how healthy we are or how healthy we are not is really in crisis. And then when we flip over to the healthcare delivery system and look at what type of outcomes we are getting from the system that the 20th century model presented to us, there's a lot to be sort of asking for improvement in that area as well. Example in hospitals today, more Americans die in hospitals due to infection rates than they die on the United States interstate system. So we have a lot to look at and a lot to address, and that's what the new health age is all about, fortunately, and this is all in a process of just massive transformation to move in a different direction.
Mel, and it is time to move in a different direction. There's no question. How did we end up? I know that's the big question, Jonathan. How did we end up where we're currently at? And again, I know that's a big question, so I don't expect you to, you know, go off into 20 different the directions and, you know, take 30 minutes to answer the question, which you easily could. But, you know, in general, how did we end up here?
Well, I'm a free market capitalistic researcher and academic, if you will, by nature. So I would answer that simply in that I think it's been the economic drivers of our healthcare system and our health drivers of the 20th century that really got us into this situation. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'll divide it into sort of two high-level categories. If you look at the system that America created in the 20th century, we basically created a sickness system. You know, the healthcare system was basically devised to access when Americans got sick or when we were injured. The system was not designed to look at prevention and wellness and proactive measures to try to keep Americans healthy. It was where we accessed, it was a place we went and accessed when we were sick. That's how hospitals got paid. That's how physicians got paid. That's how physical therapists got paid and surgery centers and all on down the line. We only would reimburse the system for treating sickness. The system didn't pay, or the payers didn't pay the healthcare systems for wellness, prevention, and that type of thing. And then when you look at the consumer side of healthcare, there is really historically not been a direct impact to the consumer of healthcare and their pocketbook. Why? Because most Americans, up until the last decade or so, most Americans either had access to healthcare insurance or some sort of government entitlement program. And while there may have been copays and deductibles, for the most part, Americans didn't feel the impact of consuming health care in their pocketbook. So when you have those two massive economic drivers coming together, you know, you get into a situation where you're not really aligning incentives and the economics to where we need to go. And then I'll end with this comment. If you look at what's really forcing us into a new era, it's really the demographics. You know, the model in the 20th century worked when we had younger Americans feeding the systems, both on the government side and on the private side. But now as we've entered into the 21st century and we have the baby boomers all turning 65 and getting older, consuming more and more and more healthcare combined with this poor state of health, we just can't afford what we've got. So that's what's ultimately driving this massive change.
And how does the new health age tend to help us with this concern as opposed to, if you will, the old health age?
Well, basically, it's the vested interest that is driving transformation. And I like to divide this into two categories. One, the private sector. Two, the public sector. So let's start with the private sector. If you are a CEO or CFO of a major company or even a small business in America today, you're having to function in a whole new world. David Houle, my co-author, who's coming out with his fourth book called Entering the Shift Age, talks a lot about this concept of a shift age that we are now moving into, which is a more global era for humanity. And if you're a CEO, CFO of a major business in America, you're now having to compete on a whole different level globally. Perfect example of that is we remember when the tragic earthquake hit Japan. How many Americans, how many listeners were impacted by something that occurred literally across the globe? You know, my family, we drive a Honda minivan, and we couldn't even get parts or service on our Honda minivan because all of those supply lines had been cut off. I mean, that's just an example of how we're so connected on a global perspective. Well, that means that businesses in America today are having to compete against other businesses globally, and we can't afford $12,000 per employee annually a year to remain competitive in this new global marketplace. And that's the average cost right now for healthcare insurance, $12,000 a year per employee for healthcare. So on the private side, businesses are really looking at reengineering their health benefit plans to really look at this new shift towards wellness, prevention, getting us healthier, trying to avoid having to access the system. So that's on the private side. On the public side, you're seeing the same thing happen. Governors across America, state levels, the president, Congress, having massive budgetary problems when it comes to the entitlement programs, Medicaid on the state level, Medicare on the federal level. Consumption is going up double digits every year, and those systems are having to re-engineer themselves as well to really get our arms around cost and bring down those costs. Otherwise, the taxpayers are just going to continue to pay that brunt on the back of their shoulders and just and revolt, frankly.
Well, you know, this is all very, very fascinating. And, you know, when we think about and I want people to think, Jonathan Fleece, about, you know, the opportunities that we've had to correct this over years, or maybe the lack thereof. I think that that's a fair comment as well. But, you know, we now need to be more present in these choices, and we now need to make sure that we pay attention at a much more acute level as to what's going on. And when we look at the global aspect of this, as you spoke to, we also need to look at the individual aspect of this and then how they kind of juxtapose and work together. And maybe that's the entree, Jonathan. Maybe we get people more engaged by making it more individualistic in the new health age.
You're absolutely right, Tony. But, you know, doing a lot of research around this topic, go back to my comment about being sort of a free market economic thinker, sort of that I am, I really unfortunately believe that Americans, humans, have a hard time sometimes making the right choices for themselves unless they have some sort of an incentive or, frankly, a disincentive. You know, I think doing some of the research in this area around psychology and sociology, human beings have a very hard time projecting their thinking into the future. You know, that's why a lot of Americans don't save enough for retirement, is it's very hard for humans to project that they will be 65, 70, 80 years old one day and need to have savings to support themselves. Well, the same thing is true for health. You know, we have so many temptations in marketing and fast food and in the media and to eat, and we've made meals this almost like social event with, you know, massive amounts of calories, especially right here around the holidays. And, you know, we've got to just change that thinking.
But what we're seeing...
You know what, Jonathan, I'm gonna ask you to hold that thought. We got to get to the break, and we'll pick it up from there right after we take this quick break. Jonathan Fleece, my guest, the book, The Healthcare Age, The Future of Healthcare in America. We'll be right back.
Mark Brewer, chair of the Michigan Democratic Party. On behalf of the Michigan Democratic Party, I want to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday season.
On 1310. WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I am Tony Trupiano. He is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299.
And it just goes to show that boots on the ground and people at the voting polls, no matter if you make them stay 8-9 hours, this is America, and they tried voter suppression to keep people in line for 8-9 hours, elderly people. And you know what? They stood in line.
That's right.
They said, you're not going to steal this election from me. They tried to do everything in their power. Big money tried to do everything in their power. You can bet them 1%er sat home and got an absentee ballot and voted. They never waited no line. Them guys wouldn't stand in line for a cup of coffee.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. Jonathan Fleece again, my guest, co-author of the book, The New Health Age, The Future of Healthcare in America. Just got an email asking me where the book is available. It is available at all the .coms where finer books are sold, and I would think, Jonathan, in most bookstores, correct?
That's correct. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, also the retail stores, if they don't have it in stock, they can get you copies. So, yes, it's actually turned out to be a bestseller in the healthcare policy section, and Dr. Oz is on the cover, endorsed it. So we're really very blessed to be part of the conversation around this exciting time as we enter into the new health age.
You know, Jonathan, I got to tell you as a quick side note, when I saw that Dr. Oz endorsed this book, Dr. Oz did a show not long ago where he said, I hardly endorse anything, and so if it's got my name on it, you need to scrutinize it, and there are, you know, but then he said, and you'll know that it's really me, and it's obvious it's me. So congratulations, because he really, you know, people want to put his name on everything. You folks were fortunate enough to get him to actually do that.
Well, you know, we're living through such challenging times, let's be blunt. You know, we're still coming out of a dark economic recession. The political environment is certainly controversial and angering to many. And there's just a lot of political and social unrest. But I think what the readers will find when they read our book is that a lot of this is related to the shift age, again, that David talks about in his other book, Entering the Shift Age. This is all part of just a massive global transformation of humanity towards a new era, a new time. And health care is all just a part of that. I think human beings really, by our nature, can face challenges, but figure out how to get through those challenges to come out on the better side of things. And sort of finishing the discussion we had before the break, you know, what ultimately is going to push Americans into this new age of health and making better lifestyle choices? I really think it's going to be economics. So what Americans are going to start seeing, and I'm sure many of the listeners are seeing early signs already, is if you want to pay less for health care insurance at work, you're going to have to start engaging in better lifestyle choices, losing weight, eating better, exercising, stop smoking. And if you don't do those types of healthy habits, you may pay more for health care insurance at work. And the same type of programs are going to start entering into the entitlement programs, Medicare and Medicaid. You're going to start seeing Medicare cutting benefits and more copays, more deductibles being put onto the taxpayer as a way of motivating and giving incentives or disincentives to making better choices. Because ultimately, it's us and the refrigerator at 10 o'clock at night. We've got to choose between the apple and the bologna sandwich. But we've got to have those incentives and disincentives to sort of push us in the right direction.
Yeah, let me remind this audience, Jonathan Fleece, as you shared with us when you were with us last month, you are walking and taking on your own path and taking your own advice. You have gotten healthier. You have done something about making sure that there is a new health age for Jonathan Fleece.
Absolutely. You know, it's impossible to immerse yourself into all this information and data, because the data doesn't lie. I mean, it's very, very well researched in the book, and we highlight that. Quick example. In the United States, literally the entire population of Philadelphia, 1.5 million people die every year from 100% preventable conditions, whether that's smoking, whether that's overeating. You know, 1.5 million people die a year from something that can be preventable if they just make the right choices. So you read that data, and you're absolutely right, Tony. I'm 5'9", sort of a, you know, short young man, although I just turned 45, but I weighed in 2 years ago at roughly 205, 210 pounds. And over the last 2 years, I've transformed my life. I eat better, exercise, and I've now weighed in this morning at 162. Used to have high blood pressure, borderline diabetic. All those health measurements are now in line and normal. So it can be done. It's just you've got to really sort of face the new health age and recognize, you know, the wonderful benefits that can come out of that.
You know, listen, there's some stark similarities between what you write about in the new health age and what we talk about on the show with regard to politics. And one of those things is personal responsibility. You know, we can't expect doctors to solve our problems. We certainly can't expect our health insurance to solve our problems. And at some level, Jonathan Fleece, people need to start owning their own problems, which is what you're really saying here.
Absolutely. And more of that is coming, as I said earlier, on the private side through health benefit plans. There are going to be more disincentives and incentives to making the right choices, and the same on the government side. In the state of Florida, where I'm from right now, there is a record number of insurance companies that are basically bidding to take over the state Medicaid program. That's the program for the lower socioeconomic class. And there are also lots of similar models occurring on the Medicare side through new types of
structures that I talk about in the book called accountable care organizations, Medicare Advantage plans, which is basically privatizing Medicare. So all of these kind of incentives and disincentives are going to be entering the system. So Americans need to really wake up to the fact that if they continue to make poor choices and live unhealthy lifestyles, they're going to be paying more for health care.
All right. Now, this is the big question as we get ready to wrap things up this morning. This is the big question. Do we need to have more urgency to what it is we need to do in the new health age? Do we need to accelerate this process somehow? So that we change that paradigm for ourselves as quickly as possible?
Yes, and one concept we talk about in the new health age is the pace of change is accelerating. You know, just think for a moment about what life was and how it looked before Apple iPhones and iPads and computers and how transformational just that one instrument of technology has been to the world. We really believe that the pace is accelerating and it is coming at a rapid fashion. But yes, this is not something that we can push off to next year, year after. It has to happen tomorrow. I want to leave with a quick sort of thought if we've got 30 seconds.
Sure, we do. Absolutely.
You know, and this is a perfect time to use this example, which I do a lot when I speak about this topic across America. You know, I said earlier, it's hard for humans to live in the future. But we know that our poor lifestyle choices statistically will shorten our life. Smoking, overeating, being overweight, high blood pressure, we know that, but we just don't sometimes put it into today because we don't think that way. I want all the listeners to imagine that their poor lifestyle choices are going to cut their lifespan by 10 years. 10 years by smoking, by not eating right, by not exercising. And it starts tonight. Right here, Christmas 2012, you're going to go to sleep for 10 years if you don't change your life.
All right.
And then you're going to wake up. So it puts people in a different mindset if they really feel like those poor choices start tonight.
Absolutely. Jonathan, we are just out of time. Thank you. We're going to get a link to the book up on the Facebook page. We'll be back with Joe DeSano on the other side.
Team 10 WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Crews are still working on clearing up that earlier reported accident blocking your right shoulder, I-94 westbound at Zeeb Road. Also, a disabled vehicle has your left shoulder blocked, I-75 southbound before McNichols Road. And another disabled vehicle blocking your left shoulder on the Lodge at Southfield Freeway. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, now on for